Tonight, our favorite geek, Elliot Serrano, rides sidecar for the evening. Then later, comedians Tim Slagle and Erica Nicole Clark stop by the Showcase studio. And finally, we'll get our monthly visit from pet expert Steve Dale. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
I'm so happy to be back. It's so good to hear the music, to hear your intro. Did you do that intro for Hannah and Carm and Dane last week?
I think I did it once for Hannah and Carm, or maybe twice.
And they asked you to stop?
Yeah, and then I did not do it for Dane. A lot of people didn't want your intro.
Oh, excuse us.
Because it's yours.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
And you were still getting phone calls about why am I quitting?
Yeah, we got a lot of phone calls last week saying, why is Patty quitting?
I am not. First of all, we put it out there like that.
But we did.
I am not quitting.
We've said it several times, people.
I will say this again, as I posted on Facebook, you have to drag me kicking and screaming from this building.
Thank you for saying that.
Yes, no, I am not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. I've been in L.A. for the last week working on the elements of a TV series that I have sold to ABC, the elements being the script, and also I've been taking acting courses with an acting coach to hopefully be able to learn how to stand in front of a camera and not look like a complete moron. So that's what I've been up to.
Amazing.
It's pretty wild. It's weird. We got the first draft of our pilot script, the script based on my family, on my life, on who I am as a citizen disruptor, I think. A poop stirrer, I think, is the best way.
Poop stirrer. Oh, poop stirrer.
I can't say the real word that they use in L.A.
Yeah, you probably
don't. Stir stuff up. I get right in the middle of things. I try to solve the world's problems, even though no one asked me to.
That's great.
So that
sounds amazing.
So that's what we were doing last week, and I'm happy to be home, and thank you so much for joining us pretty late. Joining me in the studio is our very own king of the geeks, Elliot Serrano. Hey, Elliot.
Good evening, everyone.
I haven't seen you since the Doctor Who convention.
Yeah.
The TARDIS. TARDIS.
It's weird. It feels like it's been forever, but it's been...
So much has happened.
It's only been a week and a half?
About that.
I mean, my whole life changed in that time. I don't know about yours.
Your whole world changed?
Everything.
Why everything?
Everything changed. Everything. Oh, my goodness. So much stuff happened since then.
Oh, what did I miss?
Oh, you missed, let's see, well, of course, Chicago TARDIS was a lot of fun.
It was. It was very fun. Thank you, everyone there, for putting on such a great event.
Yeah. I got in trouble, though.
You did. I saw that happen.
I got in trouble there.
I saw that happen, and can we talk about this, the joke that you wanted to do? And you told me what the joke was going to be, and my only concern was that people wouldn't get it. And as it turns out,
they didn't get it.
They didn't care.
No.
They only heard what they wanted to hear.
Pretty much. But you were there when the joke took place.
Yes. And as a woman, I don't agree with the take that they had that you were hitting on Alex Kingston.
Alex Kingston didn't think it was hitting on her either. No, but anyway.
Although I was hitting on her, oddly enough.
I know. Who wouldn't? But at that point.
Harry from Racine, Wisconsin just called in. He said that his birthday is coming up on January 2nd.
Happy birthday, Harry, on January 2nd.
He invites us all to Racine for his birthday party after 5 o'clock.
In Racine.
Yeah.
They have a wonderful furniture store. I don't know if it's still there, but my mom used to always drive, like, she, you know, for whatever odds and ends furniture she wanted, there was a place. Basically, because she didn't know about Penny Mustards. That's why she was going to Racine. Now she goes to Penny Mustards. Sorry, Racine.
That was nicely done.
Thank you very much. Yeah. My brain clicking on all cylinders, even though your cylinders should not click.
Can I real quick say hi to four guys that I met on the train tonight coming in?
Yes, hi, four guys on the train.
Cortez, Calvin, Cameron, and Carmelo. I hope you guys enjoy my money. They gave me change, and I traded money, dollar bills for change.
Do they only hang out with friends
people?
With C-word?
Actually, that's one of the reasons they wanted me to mention it, because it was Craig, Cortez, Calvin, Cameron, and Carmelo. All on the train. Together.
I like that group
of
friends.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you.
You can't call each other C. Hey, C. No, hey, you C. C2, C1, C3. It's all very complicated. Hi, Rob Martier here.
Hey.
How
welcome
are you
back.
Thank you very much. It's good to be back. And who is there anybody in traffic? I don't see.
Yeah, Roger Banish is here.
Hi there.
Why are you? Oh, you're not. I don't know where you are. I don't see you on my monitors.
I'm facing Rob.
Well, stop doing that. It's creeping him out. He wants you to stop looking at him.
Well, no. I mean, it's, you know, if I have to look at anyone up in the newsroom.
It works. Yeah,
you
might as well be.
Yeah. How you been?
I've been very good. I'm a little bit, today, You know, I wake up late in the day and I turn on the TV and immediately saw reports of a firefighter who lost his life this morning in a warehouse blaze. And when we come back, we're going to talk to a firefighter with the Chicago Fire Department, Todd Tuchuk, very good friend of the show. Yes, Todd, give us a call now and we will talk to him in a moment. He posted a fireman's prayer and I want to talk about that and where you can go to help out his family, three children right before Christmas, and a mother who I'm sure is her life has been completely destroyed. We want to find out how we can help. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. I'm joined by my good friend and regular on the show, Elliot Serrano. We have Rob Martier up in the newsroom, Roger Badish taking care of everything else that's important, as well as news at midnight. Craig Collins in the producer's booth. And as I mentioned before the break, tonight we are mourning the loss of one of Chicago Fire Department's very own firefighter, Dan Capuano, who lost his life in a warehouse fire. And I saw a prayer on Facebook and I immediately, I mean, I have friends that are on fire departments both here in the suburbs and around the country, but our friend on the show is Todd Tuchuk. And I saw your prayer tonight, Todd, and I never really, you know, I mean, I know you, I've met you, I've hung out with you, I've had you on the show. And Todd, I mean, I just, I don't stop and think often about what it means for you to be waiting for that call, that whether it's in the middle of the night or during the day for that call of distress. And today the call of distress was for one of your very own. How are you doing?
Good. A little somber, but you know, we've been through it before, we'll be through it again, and you take it as it comes and just hope that the family is taken care of and adjusts.
Well, and that was one of the reasons when I saw the prayer that you posted, and it's longer, and but really the whole prayer is about being called to duty, and that you will, you know, you will rush into a fire and save whoever is calling in the smoke, but that if you if I have to lose my life, please bless with your protecting hand my children and my wife. And I ask everyone listening to answer that prayer and contribute to the fund that is right now at, I believe it's B and Harris Banks are collecting cash and checks as well. Where would you direct people, Todd? Do you have a website?
Well, we have widowsandchildren.org, which is set up by ND Menzer, Walsh, and Quinn. That's the retirees and the Widows and Children's Assistance Fund. So they can do that online. Or if they go to that widowsandchildren.org, it'll have a drop-down for any BMO Harris location that is accepting the donations. And then if they wanted to put it in the mail, they could do it to the EMWQ Fund, Attention Daniel V. Capuano Memorial Fund, and that's 20 South Clark, Suite 1400, obviously Chicago 60603.
Well, and I thank you for the information. And again, as I always do, I thank you for your service and for the job. What drew you to being a firefighter? Was this a family tradition?
No, I'm the first one in the family. My grandfather was a Teamster, and every Christmas he'd make sure to go by the firehouses and drop off food for them, hang out with them a little bit, talk with them, and he brought me a couple times when I was a kid, and just seeing the way that they were and the way that they treat, you know.
Yeah.
It was something that I fell in love with from the first time I saw it. And, you know, I had two goals in my life. One was to be a pro ball player. If I couldn't be that, I wanted to be a fireman. So I got the one, and I get to play baseball still. So I got both of my dreams.
Yeah, no, it's pretty cool. I know that you've had the chance to play in several professional baseball diamonds, including, I still say Comiskey, but you've played at the Cell. Did you play when it was Comiskey?
No, we started in 2001 at Comiskey, and that was for when the towers came down. They Reinsdorf actually got in touch with our people because we were playing at UIC, and, you know, we had our own little following, but he called us and said, hey, this is something that, you know, needs a little bit bigger exposure, and we played for the guys who died in New York, and we had about 10,000 people there, and you know, ever since then, they've just taken really good care of us.
Well, and I think that that's that was a catastrophic event that made a lot of people, you know, take pause and think about the men and women that run into buildings. I mean, a lot of conversations were around the idea that when most of us are running away, you are running toward danger. You know, when you do get a call and you arrive on a scene, I mean, you're not thinking about your own safety. I imagine that you're, you know, partly from the urgency of your job and duty and, you know, making sure that people are safe, but a little bit of adrenaline. What is a day like today? How does that affect, I think we all know the answer, but, you know, does this one of those days where you kind of take pause and go, God, all the times we run into a building, you know, we don't think about how this could be the end result.
Yeah. And unfortunately, you know, every time this happens, this is almost 5 years to the day that Tower 34 lost one of their own on December 22nd when that roof collapsed at one of the buildings on the south side, Corey Akam.
From the same firehouse, right?
Yeah, Corey Akam was from the same firehouse. A Stringer was on Engine 63. And, you know, when those things happen, that's when we train and we drill every day on different things to make sure that these things don't happen. But when it happens, you know, the first thing you do when you come in is you try to find out as much information. Then we go back to grassroots and say, hey, you know, what are we going to do to make sure this doesn't happen again?
Well, and I know that, you know, I'm not sure that you would want to speak to this, but what I've been reading and trying to find out about, I guess, and again, this is not something that I've asked you to talk about, but that there was maintenance being done and construction on an elevator shaft, but it was not marked and it was not part, that they did not have the proper zoning and paperwork for that. So there was no way for the firefighters who went to that building to know that this was an area that didn't have any sort of support there.
Yeah, and a lot of the times we have a program that's still in effect. It's called the Red X Building Program. It's a little bit different than that, but depending on the call, depending on where you're going, you will get a little bit of information about what's going on. They might tell you it's new construction or that there's work being done. Most times, though, you're going in blind, and you're just hoping by what we do is we do what a scene size up when we get on the scene. Usually our chief will get there before us, and he'll take a quick run around the building, see what he sees, and then, you know, on the way to our call, we're making sure we all know what we're doing, and then when you get there, you go in.
Yeah. What a horrible day, and we want to extend our deepest condolences to you and your brothers and sisters in the Chicago Fire Department. You mentioned in the message to me that you didn't know firefighter Capuano, but I know that that doesn't mean that you didn't know him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
So, but first that, and also thank you again for all the work that you do, and you know, Merry Christmas to you and your family. And I know that this will be a season where you hug each other a little bit harder.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. Thank you so much. We've been hanging out with firefighter Todd Chuchuk of Chicago Fire Department, and you can go to WGNRadio.com. In addition to the information he gave you on contributing to the widows fund for firefighter Dan Capuano, who lost his life this morning, again, WGNRadio.com. All the information is there so that you can help support this family, not just now for the holiday season, but hopefully going forward. Todd, be safe. I know that's a sort of a I don't want to tell a firefighter who runs into a burning building to be safe, but it's good to hear you, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Appreciate it. Take care.
Have a good night. You're listening Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. You can also watch us live streaming on WGNRadio.com. Whenever there's a good bump, Craig and I might be dancing. You don't know. That happens. Kind of happened just a moment ago. So I guess you have to watch WGNRadio.com. Also, we have to get back to working out on the air so that people can win
randomly.
Stuff. Yes,
yeah.
Randomly. And if you can tell us when we were working out, you can win a gift.
I'm so excited about that.
Actually, though, I still have your hand weights in the
good.
In the bottom drawer.
Even
there.
Better.
I really think we need to invest in, remember those shake weights, the ones that
WGNRadio.com if you want to watch the live stream.
Yeah, what were those called? Tim Slagle joins us live in the Allstate Showcase studio, comedian and commentator shake on weight. All things political and otherwise.
Shake weights.
Were they just shake weights?
Yeah, they looked like something you should not be doing.
Yes.
Patty, I don't know if you know, you don't have a shake weight right now. So what you're doing in the studio.
I'm just shaking my arms and other things. And I look, as if I'm holding the shake weight. Two of them. I think I was at a party in college like this. Anyway, Craig, are you okay? I'm back in town. I'm back in the saddle.
It's completely broken.
I didn't say anything. You can't do adult warning on WGNRadio.com.
You cannot.
Yes. Elliot Serrano also joining us. Tim, are you a big fan of the Star Wars franchise?
Am I a big fan?
A fan?
You know, I liked the middle three,
right?
Which was the first three,
mm-hmm.
You know, and then now the first three, and now not so much.
I'm with you on that. And our good friend in the newsroom, Roger Badish, I don't know if he's at a microphone.
Yeah,
he says he's rethinking Elliot. He says he's reconsidering his opinion of the first three, and not in our chronology, like ours are the middle three, I guess that we're talking about.
Yeah, I just finished watching the first three. I'm on to four now.
Okay, so
because I'm trying to again rewatch them before. Mm-hmm. I get around to seeing the new one.
And what are your thoughts now?
All right. Here's where the glaring one, and I remember this from the VHS version before the DVDs came out.
Yes.
But remember
when they
added that stupid scene? Actually, it's in four.
Yes.
The stupid scene between Han Solo and
Jabba the Hutt
in the hangar.
Is that stupider than Han shooting first? I mean, Han not shooting first?
No one cares about Han shooting first. Nobody cares about that. It is what it is.
Are you? Yeah.
It is what it is.
Do you know, Roger,
Guido had the gun out already. He was threatening him.
How do I turn his microphone off?
Does Roger mean that he doesn't care because lots
he
of
said
people
nobody
care.
Nobody's allowed. Tim doesn't know what we're talking about.
I have no idea what you're talking
in the
about.
Cantina in the cantina when the bounty hunter has come for for Han Solo, they're sitting there, and Han's is kind of like, guys, he's kind of like futzing with the wall and acting all nonchalant, and you see him unbuckle his blaster, and he shoots the bounty hunter. In the recut version, George Lucas went in and has the bounty hunter shoot first so that it looks like Han is protecting himself, like shooting back, instead of Han shooting first, which is a character defining moment of like, yeah, la la la, boom. I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, you're right. It should have remained the other way.
Yeah, thank you.
It's George Lucas. He was not so much. There was a. I don't know. I'm not big enough Star Wars geek to actually. But there is a guy that worked underneath George Lucas that apparently wrote the middle three.
Okay.
And George took all the credit for it because he's that kind of a guy.
I did not know that.
And so that he did the first, you know, the second three, which was the first
the
three.
The cereal box ones.
Right. And that was pure George Lucas. That was, you saw the genius of George Lucas in those first three episodes.
Do you think, was Jar Jar Binks in the original formation in his mind of the series, do you think?
Well, a version like that. Chewbacca, when you think about the original ideas of what Chewbacca and Han Solo were supposed to look like, when you hear how Han Solo is described in the original screenplay, it sounds a lot like a Jar Jar type character.
Oh, it does.
He was supposed to be like a fish character with gills.
Ew.
By the way, that writer that we were mentioning is Alan Dean Foster.
Thank you.
There you go.
I knew it would come up. I knew.
We're not talking about Lawrence Kasdan, because I know Lawrence Kasdan.
It looks like the script. Dean Foster was a ghostwriter on Star Wars that is upset that sole credit went to George Lucas.
There you go.
That's right.
Wow.
That's the one. That's the one. And when George said, "Hey, do you want to write three more?" He goes, "No, I'm going to let you take this all the way down yourself.
Let's see what you can do." But at that point, it didn't matter because people were so invested in the sort of mythology of Star Wars that they would go back and because I would have rather have seen more about Obi-Wan Kenobi, right? I would rather have seen that more of that character, that development. But when we talk about, like, it's amazing to me when I say mythology, people really kind of came up with the way Star Wars is sort of like this biblical or at least like life lesson sort of a thing, almost like at the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe type level stuff. Elliot, is that
you're considering that so much of it was influenced by Joseph Campbell and all that, and
Star Wars is
and
in what way?
the Hero of a Thousand Faces?
I don't know.
Yeah, Lucas studied Joseph Campbell, and in addition to Kurosawa and all these others. And he said himself he wanted to create a new modern mythology,
okay,
which is kind of like what he did.
The Force, he thinks of the Force is kind of like...
Well, the Force is Buddhism in a way. You know, it's the way he encapsulates all different types of religions.
Right.
So...
Yeah, see,
it's Buddhism with a little bit of Catholic magic,
a little bit.
Ooh. See, now this is where you two could this is where we would be in the same plane, I think, and then things would go bluey because, and I don't even know where you are with the primary candidates. I mean, because I know like religiously, I think that, and I'm not sure what kind of religious arguments you get into. I know what kind Elliot gets into. your threads, people get really violent. Like on Elliot's, they get somewhat angry, but there's some language. There's some salty language.
I try to keep. I don't know. I don't know why I bring it out in people. I try to keep my.
Do you bring it out in people, or do the people the sort of mind frame that they come from? They are those people. I don't think you bring it out of them. I mean, they're going to put that somewhere, don't you think?
I mean, it's not just
you attract
one
those
side.
People. Yes.
Yeah, I guess that's what it is. I attract those people.
Yes.
I try to keep it a family page, but other people do not want to agree with that.
I mean, like my eyes were watering one day. I was like, "Hey, that's some stuff y'all wrote on that thread," and I don't even know what it was. Something. Oh, it was something that Barack Obama was going to take credit for or something. Oh, I know what it was. It was would Barack Obama require that Syrian refugees register as Democrats? I actually remember. See, I don't just like.
Yeah,
it
was a little joke. Is that's the number? What? Yeah, that was the screening process he was going to do. Is whether
yes.
I couldn't even remember that. Is whether or not they intend to vote Democrat?
Yes,
and. Boy, that just...
I don't even know why. I mean, like, that seems like a fair enough joke. Do people understand what you do for a living?
Yeah, I know. It's hello, he's a Chicago politician. Gee, the idea of importing votes? That's never been done in
How
Chicago.
Shocking in all those things. And I'm always fascinated when Donald Trump announced his candidacy, right? I said, one, I thought it was a little terrifying. And I also said I thought he would go the distance. And I've won a lot of bets, my friend.
Wow.
I've won a lot.
Actual cash?
Yes. No. Wow. No. Actually, humiliation stuff is supposed to be happening. someone's getting their back waxed. I think, Craig, when you have a moment, remind me if Scott Stantis is having just his back waxed, or did we end up with everything? I can't remember. And also, he was going to play his flute. I mean, a flute.
So
his high school flute.
We were originally excited.
With a shake. With two shake weights.
Yep. It's all going to happen. We were originally excited about Mark Carman getting fully.
He was going to get waxed. But that
removed.
Was not a Donald Trump bet.
No.
No.
And then it turned into Scott Stantis.
What did we bet with Professor Paul Green when he said that Trump would not make it past the first debate? Do you remember that?
What was that?
Yeah, I bet Tim everybody. People who have like degrees and stuff in these kinds of arenas and do political cartoons every day. And I'm like, nope, he's going the distance.
Yeah, well the thing is he doesn't have to raise any money.
It's
you know, all the other guys are raising. You know that Lindsey Graham has raised $8 million?
Is he running?
Yeah, he's still running. $8 million. That's the most money spent on empty seats since they built Comiskey.
That's adorable. That's good. I don't understand. Where do you fall? Because I heard Michael Steele on Rokan's show last week say that Donald Trump is what happens when you combine politics with entertainment. But I mean, haven't we already?
Yeah. It's not been. When did politics become sacrosanct?
Yes.
It's the realm of used car salesmen and ambulance chasers.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know how people can get mad about, I guess, the things that he says when they've kind of been alluding to that for the last 20 years, just because he's saying it out loud, right? He's saying what a lot of people have felt, I think.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, so how can the Republican Party be bad at that? That's what they've kind of been shoveling in that for a while. Fear and anger, right? So how can they be upset at what he's saying? I don't understand.
Because he's saying it.
Yes.
He's saying it.
But,
and people are getting excited about it. It's like the Republicans all this time it's been that, well, you know, we're on your side, but we're not going to say anything. And Republicans just assumed that maybe the people in power were believing that, but they never really expressed it.
Yes, I don't know why they're panicking. Do you know why they're panicking?
Yeah, because they can't control them.
Oh, are they supposed to?
Well, usually the parties want to keep a rein on the candidate. They don't want the candidate going. I mean, that's why the Democrats don't care much for Bernie Sanders.
That's true.
He's a renegade.
Yeah,
it's like no. That's not how we do things here.
Elliot, did you see that? I believe Donald Trump's doctor came out and said that if he becomes he'll be the healthiest person ever elected to the presidency. That's how healthy.
That's his doctor said. It sounds like Trump put on a lab coat. Says I'm Donald Trump's doctor and. Donald Trump will be the healthiest, most fabulous, most brilliant candidate ever.
That is exactly what the letter sounds like.
Well, Donald Trump would know because he can pretty much examine his own prostate. His head is like right up there.
You know? It's wedged all the way up there. Do you have any favorites in this race, or you just enjoy? I mean, like, not even who you would vote for, but enjoy watching and listening to and the things that they spout, whether it's Hillary Clinton or Ted Cruz.
I like them all.
Yeah,
it's I like Ben Carson. Amazingly, he's actually ruined the metaphor of brain surgeon for intelligence.
What? It's not like this is brain surgery. No, actually, he cannot. It's not that bad. Do you have any favorites, Elliot, for entertainment value or for otherwise?
Oh no, I really now remember I said this a while back. I said Trump was going to go all the way. That was with you, and I know Scott Stantis said no way.
Yeah,
and I kept saying no. Watch, just for pure entertainment value alone, just watching how everybody else within the Republican Party is having a conniption. And now they're, the whole thing, that alone. Of course, when Jeb Bush comes out and calls Donald Trump pretty much a false flag, you're like, oh, okay, now we've gotten into the crazy land territory. the mainstream candidates are using terms, are saying they've rigged the whole thing because Trump is good friends with Clinton. So he's doing her a favor.
Is that conspiracy still going around?
Jeb Bush said it himself.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, he was good buddies with him. Not anymore. I mean, Donald Trump made fun of Hillary's hair. Yeah. Imagine that. All the properties he owns, a sense of irony is not one of them.
What were you going to say, Craig?
Sorry, we had Kerry call in and have a kind of spirited conversation with me. Alan Dean Foster did not help write the movies. Apparently, he helped write the book, the novelization of Star Wars, which is not the movies. So he wanted to clarify some of the things we said on the air.
He
wrote it from the screenplay, and then he wasn't really credited to help writing the book because he was a ghostwriter, but he doesn't care about it.
He doesn't care about it.
Apparently.
Someone cares.
This is what Kerry says.
I think
Kerry cares. That
Thank you,
we
Kerry.
Make sure on air Alan Dean Foster didn't care.
Alan Dean Foster did not care. He wrote the books. He was the ghostwriter of the books.
Helped with the novelization.
The novelization.
Right.
I'm sure Pete Best says he doesn't care either.
It's totally fine. It's totally fine. I'm doing other stuff.
It's all right. Elliot, you were going to say?
No, I was going to say because he ghostwrote the first Star Wars. Then he wrote Splinter of the Mind's Eye, which was the sequel, which was supposed to be the next in the movie, but then they decided to go in a different direction with it. So technically, Alan Dean Foster did write two books, then one that was supposed to be the sequel, but then, as we said, he was like, none of this for me. And Lawrence Kasdan was the one who worked in the films.
Okay. So. Well, Lawrence Kasdan, who wrote a lot of great movies like Grand Canyon and Silverado. Oh, I love Silverado. Have you seen Silverado?
No.
Okay, that's your assignment during the break. Do you ever wonder what we're talking about when we're on break? It was Oliver from Brady Bunch. That's what we were talking about. I mean, that's of all the conversations we've ever had, I think Oliver, the child to be taken in to the Brady Bunch
the
family.
Jar Jar Binks of the Brady Bunch, as the conversation was going.
Exactly. That was because we're talking about Star Wars, and now we've ventured off into Brady Bunch. I recall, Rob Martier, were you a Brady Bunch watcher? Because I suspect that you and I are around.
And Elliot. I'd call Oliver more the Fredo of Brady Bunch rather than Jar Jar Binks. But I get your point.
Do you recall there being two other kids that he wanted the family to adopt?
Well, wasn't he a cousin, Oliver?
Oh, I thought he was an orphan.
He was a cousin,
I think
Oliver.
Oliver was the cousin, and then
cousin
there was
Oliver,
the dog that they had there for a while. And
there was one and it was supposed to be the start of a spinoff of the Brady Bunch.
The adopted kids were
the two kids.
Who was going to adopt the kids?
Oh my God! No. Who was the actor? I'm trying to remember the name of the actor who was
I was always captivated, though, by the sexual tension between Sam and Alice.
Yes.
I mean, that was just, it was, you know, I finally yelled at the TV one time. I said, come on, get on with it already.
Do it already. Just
go.
Do it. Oh, remember when
Pack the meat, Sam.
That's right.
Remember, that's it.
Was it Sam and Peter that were locked in the freezer? Or was it Greg? Yes. Oh, it was Greg. It was Greg. Greg and Sam were locked in the freezer. That was scary.
It was scary. And I was like, that was like the one time when I thought they will be dead by the end of this episode.
Yeah, like freeze. I mean, it was a little dark. We were talking one night about the worst episodes in sitcom history, where there was an episode where Arnold on Different Strokes was falling prey to a pedophile who, like this guy that was giving him and his friend Dudley alcohol and showing them. Yeah, it was. There was some dark. And Natalie from Facts of Life was sexually assaulted on her way home from a park. There were some dark stories on our sitcoms in the 70s and 80s.
Huh.
You don't remember any? You didn't watch these shows,
no,
did you?
I didn't watch those shows.
Facts of Life, really? Tim, I kind of see you as a Tootie and a Natalie fan.
The only reason
why
I saw the Brady Bunch was because my sisters had to watch it every Friday. And it was there.
And you're still angry about it?
No, not angry.
What would you prefer to watch? What was the show that was competing with that? Do you know?
Oh, I had no idea.
You never were going to find out.
I had no idea because TV Guide was too expensive. We didn't have it. So,
was there a knob on your television, or was it just that you had to use pliers?
There's a knob. It was probably pliers at that point.
Yeah, we had the pliers.
It was pliers at that point, and then you had to stamp on the floor about every five minutes to wiggle that RU6 tube back into place.
Yeah, nothing like the needle nose vice grips to change the channel. You know,
how did they not have like a replacement part for like somebody could have made a lot of money for a universal replacement knob. I'm just saying.
Well, you could have probably gone to the store and bought one.
But no, we all used our pliers because we all just had pliers.
Yeah, because they probably charged like $31 for a.
That's probably
for,
true.
Our TV was the one we used then was a Stromberg Carlson.
Stromberg. Ours was a Zenith of some sort.
Zenith?
Yes. By the way, our show does give out facts. The episode you guys are talking about is Kelly's Kids, and then the two people are Ken and Kathy Kelly, and they adopt Matt, and the show focuses on that family for an episode.
Oh, so somebody else is adopting.
The backdoor pilot. They are the next door neighbors to the Brady Bunch,
That was
they
it.
Wanted to adopt a kid named Matt.
I love that you just said backdoor pilot.
Uh-huh. I learned that word from Patty Vasquez.
You can do characters on one show in order to create another series. We're going to go to the news. We have Adam Selzer. Let's talk about...
Backdoor pilot actually sounds like a term for something else.
Handshakers. I saw that movie once.
It's all saxophone music.
We have Adam Selzer joining us after the news, and we're going to talk about some of Chicago's history that is pertinent to some of the stories going on right now concerning our Chicago Police Department and, stories in the news. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Again, if you're watching at WGNRadio.com, it's just like this show, plus a bonus visuals of Adam Selzer, Craig Collins, and I dancing up just a storm. I don't know. Tim's like, oh, would you call that dancing up a storm, or would you just...
I don't know. I like the shake weights. The shake weights are a nice touch.
Adam, are you familiar with the shake weights? Did you ever try the shake weights?
I have not tried the shake weights.
But you know what we're referring to.
I think I've seen them in the seen on TV section.
Exactly, they are. Yeah. But you never saw the videos, the infomercials for those?
I don't think I saw the infomercials, no.
Come closer to your microphone. Is that what it is, Craig? You think right there? There you go. Thank you.
Yeah, how's that?
Oh, there we go. Okay. I want to hear the lovely tones
slanted
of your voice.
Funny.
Elliot Serrano, we expect you to dance next break. Into the bump.
I was in my chair.
Are you doing a little bit? Sligo was just watching
Or the shake weight. You can run the shake weight if you want. That'll get you dancing.
Can they make a shake weight that actually makes a shake? You know, I always wondered, you know, you're shaking it. I expect there to be a shake once you're done.
That's a good idea. Yeah. I think that's just a martini shaker. You just... Craig would really like me to
I would actually like to see
noise.
A generator so it actually you could recharge your phone.
Oh, see, that's good too. Yeah, if you can just. Do you want me to stop doing that? Yeah. Give me a stop doing
I just
that?
Need a couple.
My phone's
I just need a couple more seconds of internet. That's all I need.
Wait, Elliot, what are you at? When you're done with the shake weight, you want it to do what?
Have a shake. It should have a shake for me.
Okay, so you want it to prepare you a drink.
Right.
Got it. All right.
Hence,
I didn't know if you wanted some other kind of feedback after you finished with the shake weight. I didn't. Okay,
I wanted a shake.
Got
something in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
preferably with bourbon.
By the way, when we were at an event last night at Knife and Tine, our friend Nikki Allen, who's our bartender and mixologist extraordinaire, who prepared the cocktails for last night's Drink Like the Dickens event, there was a moment where she was shaking stuff, and I was like, I'm not going to get a picture of that because that people will have too much fun on my Facebook page with that. Congratulations, Adam, on great event last night.
Thanks. That was a fantastic event.
It was really good, and so many great touches. There was mutton, but
there was mutton meat pie.
Mutton meat pie, Tim. Yeah. Have you ever had mutton meat pie?
I have never had mutton meat pie.
It's a bit like shepherd's pie was the way they conjured it on this menu.
It
was very good.
It was good. Deconstructed shepherd's pie, they call
sadistic,
it.
Sadistic shepherd's pie.
I don't know if it's sadistic, but...
Well, all the other shepherd's pies I've had is with beef.
Yes.
It's because the shepherd, I mean, don't touch my sheep.
That's right. Yeah,
but this shepherd is like, nah, you're to be gone in the pie.
Yeah, I'm hungry.
I'm hungry to go on in the pie.
We also had bangers and mash, which is one of my favorite
really
things.
Really good bangers and mash,
that
too.
That was really good bangers and mash. There was bangers and mash. It's sausage and mashed potatoes.
There was bangers and mash.
There was bangers and
mash. Elliot, I was on the phone with you 2 hours before this started.
And I was not told there would be bangers and mash.
It was a Charles Dickens
festival. Yes. Of course there's going to be bangers and mash.
Yeah, it's English food from before they knew how to do anything else.
And porridge. There was cold porridge that you can't have seconds of.
Yes, we had gruel.
Gastronomic gruel.
Mm-hmm. There was
that would have been the turnoff right there.
That was delicious.
It was fantastic. All the cocktails were great. And can we tell people that you are planning another event for 2016?
Yeah, one that we're working on. We're working on a few of them for 2016. One is going to be, we've been trying to get this going for a while now, is, you know, the first Sherlock Holmes movie ever made was made here in Chicago in 1916. It was lost for years until somebody found it about a year ago. Somebody found a copy in a vault in France. And we're going to be screening it on the wall where it was originally filmed up on the north side, right? The old studio is now an auditorium. You can tell it was a film studio if you know what you're looking at. We're going to be screening that. We're going to have a Sherlock Holmes-inspired cocktails. We're working on one called the Two-Pipe Problem that I think Nikki suggested maybe scotch infused with pipe tobacco.
Nice.
And, yeah,
see, this is
all
what I'm
kinds
saying.
Of cool stuff. You can just read through the Sherlock Holmes stuff and just think of all the things that would make a great cocktail. The Baker Street Irregular.
Nice.
The Sign of the Four. The Speckled Band.
The Needle Watson.
Excellent. Oh, you've made him hurt his lung. You'll have to, because Tim, you don't live in the city. What we'll have to do is, what we should do for the next one is like get an Airbnb so everybody can have as many cocktails as they want and then just crash and like have a slumber party and not worry about getting home. That's what I think we do.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Get our sleeping bags and air mattresses. Elliot, are you in on that?
Oh, yeah.
All right, then.
Yeah, as long as there's no grill shots.
No, gruel was. It was more like
it was grits. Really,
it was cheddar
grits.
It was so
I'm not normally a grits kind of guy. Really,
it was delicious. Oh, yeah. Everything they had was delicious.
I'd like to get involved in that.
You should get involved in the Sherlock Holmes viewing. Yeah, the Airbnb.
Well, actually, I'd like to get involved because I'd like to put together a game for everyone.
Oh yeah,
it's an actual. The game is a board game called 221B Baker Street, and I adapted it for a high school class. And they had to go through the entire school finding clues. It's a very cool system. I can put it together for you if you want to involve the surrounding community.
Yeah, that'd be very, there you go.
Yeah.
Perfect. I love this. See all this melding of ideas and concepts? It's all good. The reason I wanted to bring Adam in tonight, he actually suggested a story that he's discovered. He's a historian, in addition to being a tour guide and an author, had come across some stories from the 1800s involving our Chicago Police Department that bear a little resemblance to what's going on right now. But I have to take a quick break, and we'll find out more about that from Adam Selzer. Joining us as well is Tim Slagle. You can follow him on Facebook and Twitter. Twitter? Do you tweet?
Is that what it is?
Yes. The one with the bird.
No.
That one.
No, I know the verb. The verb is tweet.
Tweeting.
Do I tweet? Yes,
yeah,
I tweet.
We're trying to get away with something on my on a script that I'm working on that that doesn't sound like that, but it sounds close.
It's the past tense.
The past tense, yes. And Elliot Serrano, you can follow him on Twitter and Facebook as well. It's two E's, two R's, all that.
Two L's, two T's, two R's.
Oh, yeah, which is only one E. I apologize.
E. But you
well, there's an E in the Serrano. That's Elliot Serrano. Go find him. You can Google him. It'll pop up. More after this on 720 WG.
The upper body workout that's shaking America by storm. The shake weight's unique movement could create the impression that it's motorized and uses electricity or battery power. However, the shake weight for women is a manual device that only weighs 2.5 pounds, the ideal weight for an upper body toning and sculpting workout. Simply pick up the shake weight, hold it firmly with both hands in front of your chest, and start moving it slowly. It's important to move the shake weight so it travels up and down in a straight line. Do not wiggle it or allow it to wobble or move it side to side. Keep your movements short and fast and contract your core. Move the shake weight back and forth with short, rapid motions. Move it faster for a more intense workout or slower for an easier workout.
We can't keep playing this, Patty. It's like 2 minutes. It says 6 inches. Oh, no. And I'm watching the video in here, too.
WGNRadio.com. You still have time to watch that. My interpretation of what she was guiding my workout right there. Before we, since we are talking about working out, are you guys all okay?
I don't think it's really a unique workout, is it?
No, it's not that unique. I can do that in my sleep.
I am so jealous of Steve.
Okay, let's. You know what? We will change topics. And well, okay, Adam Salzer.
On a serious note.
On a serious note, you are a historian who loves to sort of. Do you, you know, seek out stories when something like the recent police department shooting? With
sure. Yeah, I'll look
the video
up and
surfaced.
See, you know, when similar things might have happened. You know, they didn't have video in 1879. Well, here's this little clip from the Tribune. The patrolmen of this city are entirely too reckless with their revolvers and clubs, and it is about time a stop was put to their shooting and brutality. Hmm. They defy the law and act on their own responsibility, but their superiors would seem to wink at their crime since it is useless to make complaint. They always manage to go scot-free.
And what year is this from?
1879.
Okay.
There was a case a couple of officers had come up to a black guy on the street because they thought he had something under his coat. Turned out that under his coat he had a box of silverware, and they said, okay, what else you got? And he started to run, so they shot him twice.
Ah!
Yeah.
Okay.
And then hit him over the head with their club.
Oh.
Which, you know, even stopping a guy because it looks like he's got something under his coat is grossly illegal. That's not, it's not illegal to have something under your coat.
Wow. Yeah, it is one of those things. And I do want to say, whenever we have, we start having these conversations about the Chicago Police Department or any of our men and women serving in uniform, you know, there's a, you know, percentage of our listenership that goes, here we go again.
Yeah.
We all start with the premise that men and women get up and go to work intending to do the job that they were hired to do, they sought to do. Many of them wanted to, you know, protect their neighbors, their, you know, their communities. They want to serve in the sense that they feel that justice should be served, that people should be protected. And I mean, Tim, do you find this? Did you delve into these arguments at all on your page with the Chicago Police Department shootings with Laquan McDonald? And I don't know if you had followed this case with the...
No. I try to keep my page light. Yeah. You know, it's really hard hard to make... Well, yeah, I try.
Yes.
I definitely try. But it's hard to make jokes when you know, people are dying and, you know...
Right.
And you know, cops that we should be looking up to are going rogue.
Right. Right.
You know, there's nothing funny about that.
Well, and because, and if this was in the 1800s, right, one of the things that they are finding is that the Chicago Police Department, when there are complaints of brutality and excessive force, they're not.
Yeah, like 99% of them go nowhere.
Right. And that's, you know, that seems to be sort of what the police department perhaps was built on was, you know, I don't think that. You know, as opposed to back then, I don't think that there are as many that take on the badge and feel like that empowers them to do whatever they want. That might
right.
have been more the case in the late 1800s. But I think that now that there are just cases where they're not prosecuted.
There's a lot more things like continuing education now that cops are supposed to go through now that they wouldn't have been
right.
back then, maybe. And, you know, actual training for the job.
Right. Policing is a lot different. So what did you find? What else did you find in your research?
Quite a lot of things like that. There was another one in 1872, just a few blocks away from where we are right now. The cops showed up one 4th of July and a guy was throwing rocks at a window. And he was, you know, he was incredibly drunk. And he told him, well, it's my window. I can throw rocks at my own window. If I feel like it. And if we're in a free country, I ought to be able to throw rocks at my own window. So
he obviously could not afford fireworks.
Right. That's right.
Right. You know, we were like, it was, you know, it was 9 months, 9 or 10 months after the Great Chicago Fire. There were still in relief shacks all over the place. You know, rubble was still everywhere. So, that you know, the
he's getting his rocks off. That's all.
Okay. And there probably were fireworks laws, too. Right. So probably couldn't legally even throw light fireworks.
No, that wasn't stopping too many people, I don't think. The cops at the time walked away at first, and then 15 minutes later, one of them came back and just, you know, said, okay, I'm taking you in for throwing the rocks. And I said, you're not taking me in for throwing rocks. A fight ensued, ended up with the cop shooting two people.
Two people. Where did the other person come from?
Other person showed up when he saw the cop beating on the guy. He showed up and tried to help his friend.
Okay.
So the cop ended up shooting both of them. They had to, like, hide the police officer in like a prison for a while or so. The crowd was ready to lynch him.
Wow. So, all right.
And same thing actually happened in 1879, too, in the same case. You know, there was a widespread outcry that, you know, the cops were acting completely beyond their authority here.
Nothing
actually happened to them. They were brought to trial, but they were back on the street in a couple weeks.
And the Tribune was trying to report that there were these
Tribune came down hard on them.
Right.
The Chicago Inter-Ocean, one of the rival papers, you know, thought it was horrible that somebody would criticize the police for something like this. And they got a little racial in their dialect, too. So did the Tribune occasionally.
Right. In the sense that it was in the same idea, like, well, he shouldn't have been there doing the things that he was doing.
They got into that a little bit later. When they had the trial, it came out that this guy, you know, he'd been arrested for drunkenness several times. He lived in a house of ill fame with his prostitute girlfriend. Their actual line was, well, his general worthlessness is no excuse for shooting him.
Right. Right.
You know,
yeah.
They gave him,
of course,
they gave him
sense.
The no angel treatment. You know, 1879 edition.
Were there protests? You said there was a lynching.
The crowd gathered around ready to beat the hell out of the cop.
Oh, okay.
But which is not the case. That wasn't exactly organized protests.
Right, which is not the case. Now, what were your thoughts of the protests on the Black Friday? You know, when a lot of people were upset that, Tim, when you couldn't get into, you know, Michigan Avenue stores like Neiman and Marcus and Nordstrom's, and people were like, they felt put out by that.
Well, yeah, it's, you know, that's not really... you're taking it out on the tourists.
Mm-hmm.
The tourists had nothing to do with the incident. You know, it's I could see blocking City Hall. I could see, you know, blocking government buildings. I can see, you know, I can see you're gathering around precincts. I can see all that. But you go down Michigan Avenue, you're just going for the press.
Right. Well, that's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, to me, it is a community that is saying that they're in pain and they want you to know. I mean, like, you know, it's unfortunate that tourists couldn't go shopping, but. But, you know, when a community says we are struggling here, we need something. And for people to look at that and call people animals is distressing to me. I know people were upset about the tree, that protesters were taking the lights off the Christmas tree. If that upsets you more than Laquan McDonald being shot, I don't know what kind of conversation to have.
Why were they taking lights off the Christmas tree?
Trying to show their outrage again, I think, is that, you know, I think it was a public property that's a property of Chicago. Like, if you're going to do this tree, but you can't protect our neighborhoods, you know, we shouldn't be spending money. I mean, I'm sure it's not what they were thinking as they were ripping it off, but that's my interpretation.
No, they were thinking. How much copper's going for right now?
is there copper on the tree?
Copper and Christmas tree lights now.
Well, that's what the wires are. They're all copper.
They're copper wires?
They're copper wires, yeah.
I didn't even know that. I don't know if they should.
And here you can get them at Family Dollar for like a buck.
Okay, well, there you go. So why are they? You're right. They don't take them off a tree. I don't know if they were taking the lights with them. We're just speculating. Elliot, what did you think about the Black Friday protests?
I was kind of trapped downtown
because of the protests.
I was working that day, and I was like, there were a lot of places I couldn't go. And I was like, I said, hey, great. I'm glad people are outraged. Where were they when the election came around?
Oh, this is my thing. Yes. Mm-hmm. We talked about that a lot at the beginning of the year. If you want change, if you think that their whole thing was that Chuy Garcia did not have a plan, an economic plan, but the plan, they were like, oh, he's going to raise our property.
I so wanted Chuy Garcia to win.
Just because of the mustache?
Well, no, because it would have been the first time that Chicago has ever had a mayor that sounds like a Ben and Jerry's flavor.
That's good. Yeah.
Now I want a Cherry Garcia. It's such good ice cream. I want to thank Tim Slagle for joining us tonight. And,
oh, that's that warranted my exit.
No, unless
that's
you want to.
We're done.
Unless you're welcome to stay. We're going to talk about pets at 12:30. But you're all welcome to stay. I just need a microphone for Steve Dale. You're all welcome. You're always welcome to stay. Well, let's take a break and figure it out after this on 720. I know Elliot's staying. He's my ride home. More after this on 720 WGN. New Pussycat. Pussycat.
pussycat, I've got flowers and lots of hours to spend with you. So go and buy.
Very disappointed in our pet segment expert, Steve Dale, our pet expert for his very own segment, who's not dancing to.
I'm trying to post the picture, the picture,
the goofy picture that
It's not goofy.
I don't mind being goofy. That's my second trade, baby.
It's goofy in a good way.
All right. Then.
Well, me too, actually.
You have some excellent holiday thoughts for our pet owners and pet lovers.
Well, most pet owners, in fact, do give gifts to their pets for the holidays.
You do it so much better than I ever could have. Holidays.
Nice.
Tim, go ahead. Go ahead and do that when you have to do the holidays.
Holidays.
Excellent. Excellent.
Everyone has their own take.
What's the other one? Let's see how.
I have none other.
Is there another? Okay, then, no. Adam, how's your holidays?
Holidays.
One more, Elliot. I didn't have his mic on. What was that again?
Good.
Holidays.
Okay. I like that one. That's it's a shy one.
Shy pets.
I always get, you know what you do for children? You're supposed to, for shopping, you're supposed to buy something they need, buy something they want, buy something to read, and buy something to wear. I'm sure I should have done that where it rhymed, but we do that. Should pet owners follow a similar? Not read.
No.
Maybe you should read to your dog.
Sure.
Something
but
they can
no,
need. Something that they want.
But you know what? A lot of sure.
Right.
And we are
something
spending,
to wear.
We are spending now in America over $66 million on holiday gifts for our pets.
I like that he's committing. I like that you're committing to that.
Of course I am.
I know you are. You're spectacular that way.
It's what I do.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is a lot of money.
What do you think about it? I mean, do you feel that's necessary, or do you not have to spend as much money to make your pet happy?
Of course
they're
going
to love you. They're going to love you anyway.
You know what? You can wrap up the kibble you have in the refrigerator, and then they'll be happy with it.
The cats love the boxes and the wrapping paper. They go nuts.
That's
for
right.
Boxes.
That's right.
Yes.
But you know what? I mean, I remember, and I give you story after story just like this. We were invited over to the to Boots Montgomery. They were the neighbors that then lived across the hall from us.
Mm-hmm.
They had this beautiful Christmas tree, and we're in the other room enjoying some spirits of the holiday season.
And
we heard this noise, and Boots Montgomery not only found the package that was for her,
of course,
but she opened the package and ate half of what was inside.
High as a kite?
No, Boots was a dog.
Oh, Boots
and
was a dog.
Yeah, yeah, but
if it was a cat, it would have been in the tree.
That's right.
Look, I got a tree for Christmas.
Well, that's a problem, actually, because people have trees that are toppled over that don't anchor them down, which is what we need to do if you have a cat. Because otherwise that tree may go, and glass ornaments on the tree, that's not a good idea.
Impossible
to tinsel, which attracts them in the first place. You know what? I have
the worst is a dog that eats tinsel, and then you have to clean up tinsel.
Worse.
No, I know they can get sick, but
yes,
like, but poop tinsel is the weirdest thing. I'm sorry, there's nothing weirder than having shiny poop.
Would you? Recycle that, Patty?
No.
There's actually glitter capsules you can buy now to make your poop sparkly.
We have had that conversation on the show. Yes, it's true. You can.
Wouldn't it be easier just to pour some glitter into the bowl?
Oh, you and your cut to the chase mentality. I don't know what to do with you, Adam Seltzer.
I don't know what to do with this conversation, but we can.
Wait, hold on a second.
Yes.
You know, when you get glitter stuck in stuff, you know there has to be some left behind, right? I mean, like, pardon the pun, but there has to be some glitter that doesn't make its way out of the system. You know, I just imagine a glittery infused.
A glittery MRI?
I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah, that's what you mean when you go for your colonoscopy. I decorated it for you, doctor.
Like your white blood cell count is okay, but your glitter count is off the charts.
So we should be careful with our tinsel and with our glass ornaments and glitter.
Yes. Here's something that you might not have thought about.
Try me.
Potpourri.
Are you suggesting it? Is the studio
I would suggest
offensive?
If it were, I'd suggest Fresh Wave.
Okay.
Because it works and they're a sponsor. Mm-hmm. But I'm suggesting potpourri is an issue because a couple things. First of all, it's not the aroma. We don't know what the aroma does to dogs and cats. They may not care.
Mm-hmm.
They may think also, ooh, gingerbread, that smells so good.
Sure.
That may give them a headache. We just don't know. It's not dangerous as far as we know. Here's the problem. It's the potpourri itself.
Right.
That they can get into and ingest and get really, really sick. However, if you have a pet bird, that stuff is incredibly dangerous.
Is it toxic?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Can kill a bird.
Yeah.
In
yeah.
minutes.
So you have to poo-poo on your potpourri.
Poo-poo on the potpourri.
Yeah,
yes,
stay away
yes.
from it.
Candles mm-hmm. seem like a really good idea.
No, they don't. They're flames. They
yes.
seem dangerous. And there's hot wax involved.
All of which is true.
I'm a big fan of the fake flames.
I am too. Mm-hmm. So that can be an issue as well.
Do cats go after
sure.
burning candles?
Yeah, sometimes.
Really?
Yeah. Yep. They can get singed or worse. You can have a heart... yeah, house fire is what
of
I
course.
Meant to say.
Yeah, because they knock something over. Mm-hmm. Yeah, be careful with those things.
You do. A bread. Mm-hmm. Baking bread makes the house smell wonderful.
It does.
But if your dog gets into it, or cat, but it would be probably a thing a dog would do, before it's leavened, is that the proper terminology? Before the bread gets bigger?
I don't make bread. I don't know what you're even talking about, baking
I don't
bread.
Either.
It's crazy.
Before it starts rising. It's,
yes.
Okay. You get a ball of dough, then you let it sit, and it gets huge.
And okay. if the dog eats it before it gets huge, it gets huge inside the dog.
It's like a Three Stooges episode.
Oh, no.
It's worse inside the dog. So that's
man.
Not a good thing either.
Okay.
For Larry, Curly, Moe, or your dog.
Or Tim. Don't eat the unleavened bread. Tim.
No, don't.
I so, have to every Sunday.
But what I was talking about are holiday gifts for pets.
Yes.
So Star Wars is the big thing, right? You can go to Petco and you can get a Star Wars toy.
Mm-hmm.
Yoda, Chewbacca, plush toys. R2-D2 tug toys
mm-hmm.
for your pet. Even mouse toys for cats. That are shaped like little and make sounds like little R2-D2.
Oh, cute.
Yeah.
I just... think Chewbacca actually, is, it's in the name. I think you have to buy a Chewbacca chew toy.
Can I say something here about Chewbacca?
Yes.
Shouldn't he be gray?
He look isn't he
you
grayish
gotta, you
on,
look
the...
on the based on the lifespan of a Wookiee. You know, it's it's been 30 years, but they have a much longer lifespan than us. 30 years in the life of a Wookiee is not long enough to go gray.
There should be a little bit of gray in his face.
Well, granted, the what was the grandfather's name in the holiday special? Was he Lumpy or was the kid
was
Lumpy?
No, the kid, but no, the kid was something else. No, Lumpy was the kid.
I thought he was a little gray.
I think Lumpy was the kid.
I yeah. thought in some of the commercials I saw that the Chewbacca was a little gray.
Wookiees used just for men. There you go. Yeah. In case you're wondering.
See, Steve Dale, yeah. these are all the questions that we didn't know we wanted answered.
I think they're yes. important. To, I think
they are.
These are very good points.
So
very...
these are the toys for the holidays.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes.
So what I do is I was mentioning something they need, something they want. So for me, something that my dog needs is like something to chew that helps with his teeth and that
good
kind of
idea.
Thing.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, yeah.
Yeah. Lots
like
of products available.
What are the like pig's ears? Is that something that you recommend? That
no.
seems so drastically
no.
strange.
You
a
know,
lot of my friends buy pig's ears. My dog is not big enough to enjoy such a...
Dogs like them. Some dogs, fine, you know. Other dogs get sick.
Mm-hmm.
And for dogs that get sick, it's not a good idea. For dogs that like them and have just a little bit and will walk away,
mm-hmm.
not a bad idea, I suppose. Not my favorite thing.
What would you say for like what a dog will enjoy that also helps with their dental health?
Well, there are all sorts of products out there. There's a Dental Health Commission, and maybe during the break I could look up the exact website.
I didn't mean to put you on
so,
the spot.
So there, no, there are products that are approved. So you walk into a pet store, and it says, as is marketing, you know, this is great for your dog's teeth, great for your cat's teeth. They'll shine bright. You all this stuff, but that's all marketing.
Right.
So what is the real? It's the Dental Oral Health Commission or something. I'll get the website for you and. They have actually tested products. These are independent veterinarians who are, in fact, veterinary dentists. And there is such a specialty.
I know. I can imagine.
Who have said, okay, we're going to test these products to see if they really do what they're supposed to do. And there are some amazing things now that are out, in fact, that we don't have as people, I don't think. So at night, you brush your teeth, but mm-hmm. you don't wipe your teeth. There are these oral wipes now. You know, we have a hard problem, a tough time sometimes brushing our pet's teeth. So these oral wipes, they can do the job. You just wipe it on the teeth. There's an additive we could add into the water
mm-hmm.
for our pet. And same thing, it prevents plaque and tartar.
Excellent.
Yeah, it does, and it does a pretty nice job.
Some good advice from our very own pet expert, Steve Dale. You can hear him every Sunday morning
at
6:30 to 8, 7.
Whenever.
What do you mean whenever? Don't be so. What does that mean until, whenever?
Until they throw me off. 7 o'clock.
Wow, everyone's all a little jittery.
Well, it's holiday time.
I know.
That's when people always get canned.
Okay.
What? What have you heard?
No, he's talking in generalities.
What? Yeah, I'm talking generally. And radio is like there's Thanksgiving, and then everyone goes on vacation, and then January 2nd, it's like all new shows.
Okay, so
I'm canceling my vacation.
Steve,
I've been here 18 years.
Yeah, you're not getting canceled. What did you have an announcement for our listeners? Did you have a giveaway or was?
Oh yeah, so. Can I talk about one more product because it kind of ties in?
Can I take a break or do you want to tie it in right do before the
no,
break?
No, this is a great opportunity for someone, anyone,
yes.
to get a head start on their holiday pet giving because we are going to give away a certificate.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it's not a certificate. It's a gift package
oh.
that you go to Barker and Miowski, a paw firm,
mm-hmm.
and you can pick it up yourself.
Okay.
And we'll talk about a unique product available at Barker and Miowski when we come back.
That sounds lovely. We're hanging out with our very own pet expert, Steve Dale. You can follow him on Facebook and go to his website, Steve Dale.
Steve Dale, PetWorld.tv, or you can follow my blog or find me on Periscope or Facebook or Twitter.
Are you Periscoping?
I am.
Excellent.
You know how to close it down when you're done periscoping?
Mm-hmm.
I should periscope the next segment, actually.
Well, you want to talk, too. I mean, I could hold it for you if you want.
Well, I could hold it and get all of you guys.
All right, then.
And then when you're done
maybe
with
I have a stand. Maybe I have something you can put it on. Oh, yeah. You
wow.
didn't see that coming, did you? More
no.
after this on 720
cool.
WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, and we have a lot of friends in the studio. We have Elliot Serrano, who's our chief geek officer at geektome.net. You can follow him on Twitter and on Facebook, and in just a few hours, he'll be seeing the next Star Wars movie. So we cannot disclose where or when, but in the next few hours is all I can say, right? Is that discreet?
And I'm not even allowed to talk about it until Wednesday.
Stop
too,
talking. So. I don't want to get in trouble now. We also have author, historian, tour guide, Adam Selzer, whose event at Knife and Time last night was a huge success in conjunction with Atlas Obscura.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful event. And we also have Tim Slagle, comedian, who's just gotten off stage tonight at Zany's for Snapchats and has his new showcase is coming up starting January 25th at Zany's called Campaign. And that'll be every fourth Monday of the month through the election and a lot of political conversation that will enlighten, tickle, and discourage and offend. Is all those things? How's that?
I think the discouragement is already there.
Yeah, we're also very discouraged. And I'm being periscoped right now, by the way, Tim. That's why he's got his camera.
That.
And that is Steve Dale, pet expert extraordinaire. You can go to SteveDalePetWorld.tv and every Sunday morning from 6:30 to 7 a.m. Why are you shaking your head at me? Does it feel like it's shorter and shorter? Is that what happened?
Yep.
It's because of politics. See, it's guys like Tim Slagle and Rick Pearson. It's politics at 7 a.m. that, you know, if Rauner would get his act together, there'd be nothing else to talk about. I don't know about his act, but also Madigan and also...
our mayor.
Don't even...
You should
the presidential
in.
Candidates. Yes. I mean, the list goes on.
Yes.
You should come in and do a set.
I would love to.
Yeah,
sure.
that would be fun.
Certainly.
You mean a show.
You could cover the local angle.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have people that will do national.
I'll do local.
Have Slagle doing weather.
Perfect. So, Steve, you were telling us before the break and during the break, as it turns out, about this new opportunity for our listeners to win a gift package.
So how do you want to give it away? It's a $25 gift package to Barker and Miowski, a paw firm. And all you have to do is show up and say, hey, I won on WGN Radio.
Okay.
How do you want to give it away?
Yeah, but now you just told people how they claim somebody else's gift.
Well, the place will have the name of the winner.
Okay, good.
So,
yeah.
I think we should have a holiday off.
Who has the best? You have to say holiday. See, we did it earlier for you.
Maybe they have to create their own short holiday song.
Oh, wow. Now that's a lot of pressure.
But what if
you're asking.
What if they're a cat person?
That's okay.
Cats
that's good.
Howl?
Cats howl.
Meowski.
Cats howl.
Cats howl. Yeah, can we hear that, Tim?
Yes.
Can we hear a little? Can we hear?
Ah!
Okay. We don't do cats. Just do dogs.
Cruel to animals.
I'm sorry I brought it up.
Yeah, thanks. Oh, thanks, Roger.
Anytime.
When do I turn his microphone off? I'm kidding, Roger.
We have questions, text message questions. If
yes,
you take
please.
Them.
Wait, well, let's figure out. Start taking some calls though. Okay, before we do that, go ahead and take the texts.
From the 847. Do you know any reason why my cat would randomly go crazy and start biting himself? Like screaming, biting, spitting, growling, cat from hell kind of crazy. Wow. He's done it before, but today was really, really bad. Hoping the pet expert has some advice.
That's scary.
Well, there could be all sorts of possibilities. So what I say is videotape this and show your veterinarian. It could be, and I can give you a lot of could be's here, it could be that the cat is in pain.
Ooh.
And I worry about that. So when cats do what is described here, it could be that the cat is hurting. It could also be something called feline hyperesthesia syndrome, and this is what happens. You're petting the cat, and you just one pet too many.
Yes.
The hair on the back of the neck goes up. The skin, begins to crawl, and the cat kind of goes bonkers.
Yes.
We don't know exactly why this happens.
Is that overstimulation kind of a thing?
That's kind of different, and that could be too. So overstimulating just means you've pet too much. Hyperesthesia syndrome is a medical condition that is poorly understood, and it's part behavior problem, part neurological. We really don't know. But we do know we can do something about it, but we don't know what to do about it unless we know what it is. Right. So videotape it so your veterinarian can see it.
There you go. What a great idea. I didn't even think of that kind of solution, but at least an approach.
Yeah. It'll help.
All right. And now you had another text?
This one's from Susan. She says, is it good for cats to eat those special kind of canned foods, and how often should she give them canned food versus the dry food?
Oh, boy, this is a controversial thing. So there are many people that say canned food is better. Moist food is better for cats because it has more moisture in it, obviously, but also because of the protein content. And there are other people who say that's not necessarily true. And, in fact, studies have been done which have showed that it really isn't necessarily true. Now, that's a broad question. Without knowing the individual cat, and I don't know what special canned food means, Patty. Mm-hmm. So without knowing what that means, it's difficult to answer.
Well, I wonder if it's partly like some of the ones that they tell you like medically necessary, like if it's kidney problems, it should be specific to whatever it is.
Perhaps
our texter can let us know what they mean.
Yeah,
by
if the veterinarian said, here's a therapeutic diet or a prescription diet that your cat needs, yes, your cat needs it. But in general, is canned food or moist food better for cats than dry food? Not necessarily, despite I'm going to be attacked now, I'm sure, because food is religion to pet owners, and people have very strong feelings about it, but I go by the science.
Okay.
Mine don't digest the dry food very well, or one of mine doesn't especially.
They inhale it? They eat it too fast?
Yeah, eats it way too fast. They puke it right back up.
Well,
issues I probably shouldn't discuss on the radio.
No. So then what you do is you get little food puzzles, which is a great way to feed a cat or a dog anyway.
Yeah.
And it's like one would be a ball that you put the food into, the kibble into, drop it in. Teach the cat how to roll it around, and the food tumbles out of it. Another is like a bell shape, same thing. Deposit the food inside. There are all these puzzles now available at places like Barker and Meowski, a paw firm, or any of the pet superstars. I mean, they're everywhere. And in fact, a study was recently done which showed that most dogs and cats that are healthy actually prefer eating out of food puzzles and working for their meal.
Interesting.
I think the puzzle might be the reading gift.
There you go. Yeah. The challenge.
Yeah, good idea.
Let me do my own quick shout out for our show. Are you a homeowner that has experienced the pain of a sewer backup? Unfortunately, with all of the recent rain, this problem has become all too common. When excess water and sewage backs up into your basement or crawl space, it not only causes damage, but also poses a serious health risk to you and your family. You might have a hard time figuring out where all that water is coming from, and that's where PermaSeal can help. Just call 800-421-SEAL for a free professional evaluation. They'll check out your wet basement problems and tell you exactly how to solve them. Whether you need drain tile, a more powerful sump pump, or a flood control system, PermaSeal has the proven solutions. When it comes to sewer backup issues, their licensed plumbers will check your sewer line and install the best system to protect your home and your family's health. Call today to set up an appointment with one of their certified consultants. Remember, PermaSeal inspections are free. Call 800-421-SEAL or or visit permaseal.net. That's 800-421-SEAL. Permaseal really is known for being better. And we have Brandy on the line. Brandy, if you don't mind holding on, we're going to keep all as many people as want to stay, but definitely Steve Dale. You're not going anywhere. We have to figure out how to give away our gift. I've turned your microphone. You can turn
just
back
have
on
to say sit, stay.
Sit, no.
I'm completely
like my pet. I'm sorry. Sometimes there's a song that you play, and I'm like, I just want to hear more of it. And then I realize we're not supposed to do that. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, joined by many of my friends. We did bring so many friends into our studio. Although, you know who we did not invite to our Thanksgiving party? Two of our guests in the studio were not invited. And I feel like we were remiss considering, who knows, that might have improved our chances of having someone show up. Nobody. We had a Thanksgiving party, Tim, and nobody came.
Except those who were working.
Roger, you're in the building. That doesn't count.
But that's what I said, except those who were working.
You were working. It's not like coming to a party.
But it was a special working. It was not a normal night for me to be working.
But you got paid to be here.
Yeah.
So it's actually the night after Thanksgiving?
No.
You can't be
okay.
I got paid twice that food was awesome.
Thank you. To be clear, I had a Thanksgiving party the same way a year ago, the night of, and everyone went to their Thanksgiving festivities. We had our show, invited everyone to kind of like decompress with us on the air and have them bring their leftovers, and the room was packed. We didn't have enough. We had so much food. So I think part of it was like everyone kind of thought, Adam was out of town. Elliot had been here the night before, was not feeling well, had kind of run himself ragged, had a lot to do. And I apologize, Steve Dale, but I believe you were traveling.
I was.
Yeah, so.
My invite was lost in the mail.
Yours, and I would invite you to next year's, only we've decided not to have one next year. We are taking next Thanksgiving off.
The tradition changes.
Oh. Well, I mean, like you sit here and have Craig play for me, Are You Lonesome Tonight by Elvis Presley. And we talk about, it was fantastic. Here's the thing. 15 minutes before the show started, Craig and I looked at each other and we were like, no one's coming. Like, no one is. But I had made Thanksgiving dinner the night before, like a full meal, full turkey, everything. So just in the off chance that nobody came, and it was not so off, so we had enough food for
just
everybody.
Holding a drumstick, crying into your stuffing.
It was fun. It was actually because of course that happened. So that's fine. That made me laugh as well. We talked about Adele and how likely women are to call their ex-boyfriends inspired by Hello. So that 64%, by the way, 64% of women consider or do call exes. But Brandy's calling us about a question she has for our pet expert extraordinaire, Steve Dale.
Hey, Brandy.
Hey, Brandy.
What a fine girl you would be.
I haven't heard that one before.
I'm sure.
Actually, I have been hoping to get a hold of you and hoping to catch you on the radio. Thank goodness I had to work a little bit late tonight. But I'm having a problem. I have two dogs. One's about 3, one's about 1.5 years. And the younger one is chewing up everything, and neither one of them have ever had to be crated, and I'm wondering if it's too late to crate her and if it's cruel to crate only her.
No and no, but I want to know some things. Does this only happen when you are not home?
Well, yeah. She's a Doberman Rottweiler rescue, and she's constantly by my side. So when I leave, and I have an 18-year-old son, when he's home, she doesn't chew up anything. But it's been about the last 2 months that she's really started this.
So I wonder if there's some separation distress or separation anxiety going on. Does she seem like really anxious when you're gone? Do you have any idea if she barks when you're gone? She destroys things that we know. Does she chew on her?
I haven't had any complaints from neighbors.
Okay. Does she have accidents in the house while you're gone?
No.
So it's one of a couple things. How long have you had the dog? I think you said that, but I need to hear it again.
I've had her since she was a puppy. She is a rescue, but her whole life. So.
All right. Well, either, don't be offended, she really never learned how to be home alone and is now spontaneously deciding, I'm bored, I'm going to do some things. Or she has or she could have separation anxiety. Now, if she has separation anxiety, putting her in a crate in of itself isn't going to solve the problem. Ugh. In fact, it could make matters worse. Because for some dogs that have separation anxiety, they will do anything to get to the door which is the closest place they can get to.
Can a dog hurt itself in a crate?
Yes.
Aww.
Yes. And that can happen. So I want to know, like I said, if you could set up a video of your dog so the veterinarian can watch and discern whether it's separation anxiety, whether the dog is really anxious, or the dog is having a good old time having a party, ordering him pizza when you're not there, throwing the pillows all over the place.
Yeah. I'm kind of thinking I'm leaning more towards that because it's, I mean, she tears up the bed and she, the other one, she, I mean, they do play because the, their toys are all over the place when I get home. So I don't know if it's like, but she's taken to chewing up shoes and she grabbed hamburger out of the sink one time. And so it's, I mean, I'm just not, and I would have, heaven forbid, she hurt herself in a crate. So.
Right. Well, you know, from here, there's no way I can discern which of those two it is, you know. So I would talk to your veterinarian about it.
When I'm gone?
Pardon me?
The video being when I'm gone?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Now, you know, and I could look at a video of a dog and I can look and see, okay, this dog's just having a party, or this dog is really anxious and upset. And the dog may be doing the same thing, tearing up the pillowcases, but it's the dog's demeanor while the dog is doing it. And it's all the difference in the world. Now, here are some things you can do that there's no downside to trying. One is, if your dog is just bored, and that's part of the problem, which actually doesn't happen all that often, just take your dog for long walks as you can before you go out. Try to pick up those things that your dog might tear apart, like the pillows, and don't leave hamburger in the sink. Don't give your dog opportunity the best that you can.
Okay.
And the other thing you can, the other thing you could try doing is giving your dog some independence in another room. So having your dog do a down stay in another room, having your dog be in another room and not get into trouble where you are home, that can help as well.
Such as, I'm sorry, I live on like a single floor, so like locking her in a bedroom?
Yeah, well, yeah, I wouldn't put it quite that way, but essentially yes.
Okay.
And see if she gets into trouble with that or is upset because you're not there with her. But she just may be upset because she's not used to closed doors. So this is kind of a difficult one to navigate until we know whether it's separation anxiety or not. If she is generally like hyper attached to you, which is what you said at the beginning of the conversation, then my antenna is up to say it might be separation anxiety.
Okay.
You're just too much fun to be around, Brandy. You're too much fun to be around.
That's it.
Yes. See?
All right. Well, I have somewhere to go now. I appreciate it very much.
All right, Brandy. Good luck.
All right, guys. Have a good night.
Email us or text us or let us know how it turns out.
Thanks. Oh, absolutely. Take care.
Thank you, Brandy. Thank you. I wish I could have given an absolute definitive answer, but I can't unless I know what the problem is.
Well, I a lot of people have different stories about what their cats do. Like, my cats would always know when I was packing to go on the road.
Sure.
And I had one cat that would pee in my suitcase, which was fun for me. But one of my cats used to pee on boyfriends, on my suitors, as it were. Steve was one of the first people he did not pee on. So that's how I had a keeper. Yeah.
This is the guy.
Okay, before we go to a break, I can't believe I'm going to say this on the air, and I hope that Steve Dale's not offended. We are going to give away, first of all, before I tell you the thing that I'm going to tell you, maybe, you know what, go ahead and do an adult warning in a moment. I'll be vague, but if you are easily offended, I can't help you. We are going to give away a gift package at
Barker and Meowski.
I have to point at you because there's no way I'm going to pull that off. And let's see how well one of our listeners can say holidays.
Holidays.
There you go. 312-981-7200. We need four listeners, and we will judge. The panel of judges will decide who wins the gift package, including Roger Badish. He may be up on the seventh floor, but he is on the show and one of our judges. We have Elliot Serrano, Adam Selzer. We have Tim Slagle and, of course, Steve Dale. So I had a boyfriend who said he said that he was upset with me because he felt that I was more affectionate with my pets than I was with him. And I said, believe me, there's some things I do for you that I would never do for my cats. More after this on 727 GM.
Warning.
Is it too late? Was it too late for the warning? Yeah, a little. It was a post-warning. I mean, like the implication that a boyfriend would. But I think that actually happens to people. Have you ever heard that, Steve? Have you heard someone say, my wife or my husband is more affectionate with our dog than with me? But it's a different relationship.
Might have said that before I left the house tonight. She's sleeping. I can say anything I want.
So how did he phrase it? Did he say that you play with your kitty more than you
No, I
watch
I,
it.
You know what I said was like I believe I was specific.
Oh, okay.
Because I had male cats.
But I'm bummed.
You don't get your cats fixed?
No, no, I did. I had my cats were fixed. My kitty was fixed after that. This segment is. Do you want me to say who this segment is sponsored
by?
Yeah. I was like, let's give it a little bit of a breather, a little breathing room. Adam, do you have pets?
I have three cats, yeah.
You have three cats? What are their names?
Crookshanks, Helena, and Fee.
Crookshanks. Okay, Helena. Is Helena Greek from Greek mythology? Is it Greek mythology?
Yeah.
And what's the last one?
Fee.
Fee.
Fee. He's my oldest cat from way back, and originally his name was Fiona, but then when he got to be a couple of months old, turned out it was not a girl like they told her it was.
And Crookshanks, I didn't mean to skip over for anyone who's not familiar with Harry Potter.
He was named after a Harry Potter cat right when the third book came out, really. He's an old cat. Mm.
And your pet's names, Steve?
The cat is Roxy. We have a dog by the name of Ethel, because we had a dog by the name of Lucy, who's since passed away, and a dog named Hazel.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, and a northern blue-tongued skink.
What's a skink? I'm guessing a reptile of some sort.
Yeah.
Amphibian, right?
No. Reptile. Lizard.
Skink is okay.
Yeah, really? Yeah, yeah.
No, I believe you.
Yeah,
don't argue with each other.
I'm not arguing.
Right. Want to argue skinks?
Skinks. skinks, yes. Skinks, no.
No. There's about 150 species or so around the world. We have a northern blue tongue skink, as opposed to the southern blue tongue or western blue tongue skink.
Right.
And her name is Cosette.
Oh, it's a lovely, I love the name Cosette.
Yeah.
Well, Craig has already screened four of our listeners for our Howl Off for the Howlidays.
Whoa.
And he has narrowed it down to two listeners. We have Pam and Danny on the line. And Pam, I believe, is going to go first. Now, Pam, are you a pet owner?
I am. I have a wonderful cat named Fanny, and I have a dog whose name is Pippin.
Excellent. So this would be a wonderful gift package for you.
Yeah.
And this is a gift package from, sponsored by, our segment is sponsored by...
Barker and Meowski, a paw firm.
See, I don't even feign the ability to touch the level to which you are able to deliver
you
that.
You really wouldn't want to, no.
I can. No, I can't. But Pam, we are going to ask you to give us your best howl a day. Go ahead.
Okay, are you ready?
We are ready.
Okay. Happy howlidays.
Oh, that was adorable. Yes. Oh, we got some. Danny was so threatened.
That is my favorite thing that's ever happened.
It's like everybody hung up.
Danny.
And Danny was like, nope.
Danny. Danny with an I. She Pam, you dominated so hard on that Danny went,
forfeit.
Nope. You know what you just did? You just did a mic drop, and Danny went, yeah, no, I'm not going
to
follow that.
Not to be mean to Danny.
Oh, my heaven. Great. I listen to Steve Dell, and I listen to you, Patty, all the time. Oh,
there you go.
Thank you.
You have won your gift. What were you say, Craig?
Not to be mean to Danny, but I think she made the right call, too.
Because I'm with other listeners where I would have tried to do like a howl, like a long howl. Like Pam owned that. Yeah. She made it her own. It's like somebody who comes on American Idol and you're like, and they just do the same old Janis Joplin trying to be all raspy. You're like, no, I'm going to Pamize this. And you did. That was
I should have Craig give that to me as a drop-in so we use that little snippet on my show.
Can we do that? I think we can do
that. Yeah, I listen to it every Sunday.
Excellent.
Thank you.
I think we can do it, but we might want to have her do it again just to be safe.
Okay, here we go. Okay, here is Pam with her best howl today.
An encore.
Happy howlidays.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Pam. You have won the gift basket from Barker. Wait, hold on a second. Barker and Meowski. No, I can't do it.
Nice. That's good.
A possum.
Yeah, you put the emphasis on the
Barker.
Meow.
Yeah.
The meow sounded like an actual cat.
Yeah. Meowski. Meowski. Pam, I can do this all night to get the, because Barker is not a Barker. See, there you go. You got it. I'll work on it. Pam, I need some coaching from you is what I need.
Okay.
But in addition to that, we need you to hold on, and Craig will take your information so that he can provide you with what you need to pick up your gift bag. Basket.
Thank you.
Basket at Barker
and Basket.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you, Pam. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, Pam.
And yeah, the thing is, like, it making animal noises. I actually specialize in goats.
Mm-hmm. Pardon me?
What was that?
You heard. You heard. We all heard.
I specialize in goats.
That was a goat?
That was. Oh, shut up. It's not a sheep because sheep go bah, bah. So there you go. Where's your goat? Exactly.
Yeah, well, yeah. Where's my goat?
All right, so we've talked about how to be safe and keep your animals safe during mm-hmm. the holidays.
And I have more holiday gift ideas if you want.
Oh, I do want some more ideas. What would you get a skink for the holidays?
You know, I don't know, but we do have but my neighbor does. We have a neighbor. So our building, we have 9 units in our building, mm-hmm. condo building.
What's the address? I'm just kidding.
People will want to know when they hear this.
Okay.
Because we don't give one another holiday gifts, but we give gifts for the pets. And pretty much everyone in our building has a pet.
Mm-hmm.
So we give the cats get the gifts and the dogs get the gifts. And I have one neighbor and they every year find something for our skink.
Okay. And what do they, like what was the last year's
last skink? Year was a palm tree.
Oh, that's sweet.
A little plastic one
sure.
that went inside. Yeah, not the real thing. That would be too big.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Yes. Might not grow here even.
Tim and I are fascinated by your commitment to explain that you wouldn't put a real palm tree in the...
Well, I would think that palm trees could be toxic to skinks.
That's a good point
as well. They could fall on a skink. You wouldn't want that to happen.
No.
No. So, now, we were talking about Christmas, but I think we should talk about Hanukkah too.
Yes.
If your dog and this stuff that I'm about to rattle off is available as it happens... At Barker and Meowski, a paw firm.
Excellent.
A yamaki for your dog.
Okay.
Or a talus, the mm-hmm. thing that looks like, you know, it goes around like a scarf almost.
Okay.
They have the plush toys that make noises?
Right.
You know, the dog squeezes into some and they go woof. This one plays the dreidel song.
Oh, cute.
Yeah. So that's all available at that previously mentioned store.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people ask all the time for toys that are really durable for those really determined chewers that seem to chew everything up. And the Bouncy Bone from PetSafe is one such product. And it is available at PetSafe.net. They also have a peekaboo toy for cats. And a little mouse comes out of a cheese, which it's cute.
Of course it does.
Yeah, yeah. And that
adorable.
Is from PetSafe.com.
Mm-hmm.
If you like a glass of the bubbly, maybe?
Yes.
You can do this yourself, actually. You can buy what I'm about to describe, and I'll give you the website in a second, but you can do it yourself. Mm-hmm. And so many of these toys. So this is, they make a really fancy wine cork. And they put feathers on it, and they sell it, and that's fine.
But your cat will go crazy for your wine bottle then that has been recorked with the feathers.
No. You just
by the way, feather on a chain like on a man. Cats go crazy for
yes.
that stuff.
They so do. You could take a bathrobe thing. What's the cord from your bathrobe that ties
the belt?
It? Yeah, thank you.
And, I love you.
And you can just tie a feather to it.
Right. Just whip
and now you've
around.
Got a cat toy.
Yeah, but we had a rod with like a string and then
yeah,
the
but
feathers.
Then you're going to be mm-hmm. naked in front, too.
That's right.
I mean, think of the guy. Have you
you
seen...
don't want the cat playing with
yeah.
that.
No.
Yeah. You don't want the cat swatting when you get close
exactly.
the bathroom.
Oh, there's worse times to swat. Go ahead.
The cat dancer the cat dancer toy. Mm-hmm. Have you seen
yes.
that?
Yeah, yeah. No, so I've had those.
Yeah, it's just a wire with a little piece of cork on the end. And the guy's a zillionaire, right?
Yeah.
So you could take a hanger, you know, a wire hanger,
uh-huh.
and just put a little piece of cork on the end, and you've got the same sort
oh,
of thing.
Perfect.
So we could spend the money at places like Barker and Meowski, a paw firm,
uh-huh.
or we can make our own toys for our pets as well.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
Also, you know, if you are looking for pet ideas for friends of yours, or just here's a post from a friend of mine on Facebook, Chris Coggins. She wrote, "Do not get me a present. Adopt a dog. Donate to a shelter. Let a pit bull kiss your face and send me a picture. That's my Merry Christmas." More after this on 720 WGN.
I love it.
You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. And for the second time this evening, what are we talking about off the air? The Brady Bunch. That happened again.
It's like...
It's a loop.
I know when I'm not on this show, but I'm listening to the show at home, and you go to a commercial break, I'm going, what are they talking about now? I know they're talking about something really fun right now, and also it's language that you can't use on the air.
And now you're like, really? It's going to be Brady Bunch.
It's all Brady Bunch.
But I've always wondered that. Like, I was watching Jimmy Fallon tonight.
Yes.
So at the break... Tina Fey was the first guest. Mm-hmm. So they go to the commercial and they both lean in and they're talking to one another about something. And like, what are they talking about? And when Carson was on, you know, growing up as a kid, I always wondered, what are they saying? Mm-hmm. So there should be a show behind the show.
I agree. And Tim, do you have any thoughts on that?
Do you ever watch Veep?
Yes.
And they do that sometimes when they lean in and they start talking. Okay, now make it look like you're talking to me and I'm going to nod my head. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's good. Yeah, lean in a little closer like it's something very important. Okay, good.
Doesn't the baseball...
Are they taking the picture? Okay, get away from me.
Yeah.
The baseball manager, I think, does that when he goes to the mound.
The mound isn't talking about anything.
Yeah, it's like, where are we going for dinner tonight? I mean,
there's something important going on. I was at a taping of Bill Maher's way back when he was still on ABC. And there was a warm-up comic. You know, we have friends who've done this where they have to keep the crowd going and keep them energized. And they have to be over the top because it's kind of boring.
It's Bill Maher for gosh sake.
So one of the guests like leaned in and was like, get a load of this guy, like was disparaging the warm-up comic. And Bill shut him down. He goes, there by the grace of God go I. And that was what he talked about. Like I was close enough. And I was like, damn. I was like, cool. Wow. That was a nice moment. Oh, yeah, man. He's like, don't. He's like, you know what? And the guy's got it making a living. He's, you know, trying to make it in comedy. Yeah. And
don't make the fun of the guy with the red rubber nose.
That's right.
Because we're all just one short, gig short of becoming a birthday clown.
Oh, my God. Have you ever done, like, I had to do a bat mitzvah when I was just starting out. It was me and a clown and two sketch comics. It was a make me laugh sort of thing that they had hired us to do. So they got two sketch comics, a clown and a stand-up comic. And that was really, I mean, like 13-year-olds, is that what the age for bat mitzvah? Yeah, yeah.
Was that the worst gig you had?
No. No, it was tough though. It was really rough because like I don't make fun of kids. Like I don't make fun of people. Like I try not to, and so I mean like having a kid sitting in a chair and trying to make them laugh. Like you run out of things. I'm like I don't. What sort of frame of reference? I'm Irish and Mexican. Isn't that funny? You know, I had nothing when I first started, and I don't even think I could do it now.
So when I was just in Puerto Vallarta.
Yes.
And they had
me.
Did
you go horseback ride? Do you horseback ride?
I could.
The jungle. I've been horseback riding.
I've not done that. I'd love to do that.
When you go back, horseback riding in the jungle.
Right. I would love to do that.
I did that in Costa Rica.
Oh, it's so much fun. Yeah.
But they had me go to a school to talk about humane education, actually. And I thought, okay, I'm going to talk in front of 30 kids. I'm going to do a school thing. And I brought a translator with me because my Spanish probably wouldn't have flown.
Right.
And I specifically said, I want a school with people who live here. Not the Americans that are in school or the Canadians, because I'd be preaching to the choir to some extent.
And there is, in Puerto Vallarta, there's a school there. There's actually a hotel not far from the center of town where a lot of the students live from, as you mentioned, Canada and the United States.
Yes.
I love Puerto Vallarta.
I do too. So I love Mexico, but I wanted to talk to students that are there. So they were like 13, 14, 15 years old, I guess. And it wasn't 30 students. In one room, it was 300 and something students.
What?
It was the whole school. They had an assembly outside on top of it, which is fine. It was nice out.
Did you at least have any pets with you? Like, that's entertaining for kids.
No, which would have been better.
Yes.
But
visuals, always good.
Yes.
Right, Tim?
But I made it very interactive.
Sure.
And that's what kind of made
dynamic.
It fly. Well, it worked, actually. Yeah. It was fun. Mm. But it was terrifying when I walked in and I saw 350 kids.
Well, Elliot, you work with education and pets and going into schools. Do you find that is there an age group that's like is 7 or 8 kind of the upper end of where kids are still kind of, you know, they're not too cool to sit down and listen?
No, well, with anti-cruelty, we have programs for all ages, and it just depends on what type
how you approach them.
Right.
So, you know, cool. I mean, yeah, you have the kids. Like, if we try to do the pet safety bit where you bring a puppet into the room for the kids to pet, yeah, you know, the 8-year-olds are like, I can tell that's a puppet.
Yeah.
But then you start talking to them about other things, then they get into it. Then the high schoolers, you know, you want to treat them like, you know, hey, this is really some cool stuff. I know you care, but you're too cool to show it.
Right.
So I'm going to talk to you about some really mature stuff that only adults talk about. We're going to talk about the law, right?
Right.
And they're like, ooh, really? So that's the way you engage them too. But yeah, but I find kids all ages care about pets.
Oh, I agree. And how do people bring you into the schools?
All they have to do is call and request the programs. We have them for all ages.
Anti-Cruelty Society.
Anti-Cruelty.org. Yeah.
Anti-Cruelty has been doing this for decades now, really. And they were the innovators in Chicago of saying humane education is important. It really matters how we treat our animals, not only the adults, but let's talk to the next generation. They were the first ones to say this long before my time or your time. And I congratulate them because they were one of the first in the country to say this needs to be a part of the curriculum. So now it's accepted not only in Chicago but all over the country that kids get humane education. In part, it is because of anti-cruelty.
That's an excellent place.
Since the 1930s.
Yeah. I wanted to adopt twice. I wanted to adopt when way back before they were in a much smaller facility. There was a cute little dog named his name was Bingo, and my dad said he looked too ratty and I couldn't have him.
Oh.
We ended up at the Orphans of the Storm and got Pepper.
Okay.
She was schnoodle.
That's okay. Yeah.
And then there was a Jack Russell. I was on the phone with my dad.
Oh, good
and
luck.
There was yes, exactly. My dad could hear it. He goes, I don't want that yippy dog. And he might have used some salty language as well. Tim, you were mentioning that you grew up with a parakeet and another pet.
Yeah, I've had birds. I'm allergic to dogs and cats, birds are I can snuggle with birds.
How do you snuggle with a bird?
Oh, carefully.
They love it.
Do they?
Oh, yeah.
They really are. We're talking parrots or parakeets. They really are quite brilliant. I mean, really, I can tell you so many bird stories. So one.
Craig, do you need to be convinced on a brilliant bird story?
Need to be fairly convinced.
Why?
I've got a good bird story.
Why does he need to be convinced?
We both do. Because
the birds.
They fly. They're free.
And then and then everything's over.
And you're not allowed to fly anymore.
Yeah, you can't go with them.
Yeah.
My bird started making this noise. I had no idea where it came from. He would just from time to time, what would seem at first for no reason, just go like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, where does that come from? And it took me a few months to realize that he did that every time I got up out of the chair.
Like he was mad that you were leaving his presence?
No.
Oh.
The noise
he
the
was
chair
imitating.
No. The chair?
He was imitating me getting out of the chair going, ugh.
What?
The old man noise that
fantastic.
Yeah. When he would start doing that, I go, I do not make that noise. So then he picked up and then that was the fun game. He'd see me get another chair, he'd go, I don't make that noise. I don't make that noise.
What?
Yeah.
They actually comprehend.
His sense of humor is what that is.
Yeah,
they
do
have a sense of humor.
They
do have a sense of humor. All right, I'll give you a sense of humor bird story. The doorbell rings at like 3 in the morning. These people who live in a small town. I got this letter, not an email, a letter explaining this whole story I'm about to say from a reader of my newspaper column. So at 3 in the morning, their doorbell rings, and they didn't know what to do about it, and because it happened all the time. And because they're in a small town and they call the police actually had a stakeout at their house at some point in time. They couldn't catch the people, and they're running down the stairs as a family.
God.
And, you probably know what's coming, but they're running down the stairs as a family, and they were so – the whole time – the pastor in church or the minister on Sunday said – this is wrong. People ought not ring bells at 3 in the morning in our community. It was a big deal in their town. 3 in the morning, the doorbell rings. Again, they all run down. False alarm again. They go back up the stairs. And the dad, out of the corner of his eyes, sees his parrot go, woo, with his wings spread out. And if parrots could smile, this parrot would be smiling.
He's just gloating
and
in the corner.
Uh-huh. And he was chirping kind of like real softly.
And he looked, and, well, they had an African gray parrot. And African gray parrots are so adept.
Lovely at plumage.
They are beautiful, too. But they are so adept at imitating. This bird was just getting off on the fact that the family, whenever he would do this, the family would go all crazy, and the bird was having a great time watching it.
Yeah, Craig and I are not impressed with your brilliant bird stories of mocking and, and also pranking. Mocking and pranking does not a good pet make.
And I'm a huge fan of the way that you just sat back and kind of took a snack there. bird story. That's fine.
All right, I'll try another one.
I mean, like, how is it good?
We've got to take a break, Steve. I don't think we can.
No. How is it good to have a bird that disrupts your sleep and becomes a topic at church and the police department has to be brought in? I don't see how that's a good bet.
I've got a sweet story after the break.
All right, more after this on 720 WGN. Let me finish eating this apple. Hey, Craig, we have a listener on Periscope, or at least a viewer on Periscope, who says you were killing it tonight. So there you go. Thank you, Elliot and Adam Selzer and Roger Badish for also killing it. Tim Slagle, not interested and not having any of it. So and that's entirely acceptable. Roger Badish, we were impressed and were able to also, I hope, capture you on the Periscoping video this evening.
Hey. Hi, Roger.
Hi.
Roger, what's on your hat tonight, may I ask?
I'm the man in the box. This is one of the places I go golfing called Tam O'Shanter.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Yeah. I have not. I don't do golf.
Nice.
No, you don't want me golfing. I might hit a birdie.
Oh. Roger, yes. You. I saw on Facebook that you may have volunteered to teach someone how to golf. Was that what you feel like?
Yes, Justin.
Oh, just Kaufman. Yeah. I don't golf, and I'm not going to ask you. You know, I can't.
I'll.
No. I've had many people try. My father-in-law was an exceptional golfer, and he sat for about 2 hours watching me just take swings, right, trying to drive that ball.
Right.
And he would have me step away from the ball and just swing. And then I'd step up to the ball, and he just would shake his head because he could not understand what was happening at the last second to make the ball. I would just hook it. And there was nothing. He just kept breaking it down. Finally, he realized I had to take a half swing because I was swinging too much. Why are you nodding? Is that common for?
A lot of people, if the ball's not going straight, they're trying too hard, so they're swinging too far back, and then by the time they get to the ball again, the golf club is all turned around and messed up.
No, it was the female golf clubs are a little more whippy, so if you swing hard, they whip at the last. They
and
whip too much.
And you can get different types of golf shafts. You know, club shafts on your
is that
set.
Like the weight shakers, the hand shakers are like the club shafts? I'm sorry, Craig. Craig was really hoping we wouldn't go back to that.
No, it had nothing to do with that. But you can make the club actually firmer by the type of material in the shaft. So it's not necessarily that all women's golf clubs are like that.
There's other topics we didn't get to.
What are you really talking about? Is this code for something else?
No, not at all.
Roger is being very serious about his shaft.
I'm very...
of his club. It's not my fault. These are the words. Look, I do CrossFit, Roger, and there are things like power snatch.
Right.
And so, we get in all kinds of trouble with those things. Right. By the way, to answer some of the questions on Periscope, this is a talk show at WGN Radio, and you can follow us on WGNRadio.com.
In Chicago.
Yeah. We're live streaming as well as Periscoping. And you can't hear Roger. One of the things you can't hear the other side of the conversation.
Oh, that's right.
I apologize. Yeah. No music. WGN is too cheap. What's that? How is that a cheap thing?
They can't hear the music. We do have music.
We have music. Perhaps you can't hear it right now. Yeah. It's just me talking. I'm sorry that I'm not satisfying some need that you have. But anyway, Craig, Steve said he had another charming story about a bird and why they're cuddly and fun to have. Hold on a second. Let me go ahead and tell your adorable bird story that I'm sure.
I think so. So this person comes home and the TV had been on. He left the TV on to keep his bird company. Again, a parrot. I don't remember the kind of parrot it was. And the parrot kept saying over and over, "So sad. So sad.
Oh.
So sad."
Mm-hmm.
And he then turned to see what was on TV. And in fact, this person happened to be, at one point in time, who wrote me this letter, an aide to then-President Reagan. Which has nothing directly to do with the story, but I really think it's interesting that that's what this person did. And it turns out that what was on TV, and I worked that night actually, was Princess Diana had died that night.
Oh.
And on the television, they kept replaying over and over the same thing. And this bird maybe understood, which I would assume you would agree with,
yeah,
what was going on. And birds are that intelligent. Maybe the bird was just, quote, parroting what some of the broadcasters were saying over and over because it was so sad.
Right.
And I'm sure they said that. But birds are brilliant.
Or maybe he was watching Archie Bunker's place.
That was a sad show.
Just so sad.
That was
so sad. All the family was so good. This is so sad.
Why couldn't they just keep? Why? I mean, just because she had just passed away on the show. His wife Edith had passed.
Oh, he's
away.
The only one that still wanted to do the show, basically.
Right. Right. But why couldn't it be all in the family? Just his daughter and his son-in-law. You know,
They didn't want to do it either.
Oh, they were done.
Everyone was done. Everyone moved on. Everyone had careers, and Carol O'Connor.
Well, Sally Struthers turned out not to have too much of a career after that. But...
No, none of them really did.
Oh, well, Sally Struthers, Craig. I haven't told you this. I hung out with Gypsy, Rose Abdu from Gilmore Girls, and they are making a Netflix miniseries with Gilmore Girls. Sally Struthers called, Rose Abdu called Sally Struthers and said, "Hey, we're doing this thing. Aren't you excited?" And Sally Struthers actually said, "Do you think they'll ask me back?" How sad is it that you're Sally's?
What?
I know that you're Sally's Struthers, and you're not sure if you're gonna be back for what was her character's name?
Babette. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, and by the way, sad news on television for friends of the show. We've never actually had him on, but we could have. I just never bothered to actually ask Billy Gardell to be on. Mike and Molly was canceled this week.
Oh.
So they are in their sixth season. I believe they're not even gonna fulfill the rest of the season. They are in syndication. There are speculations that perhaps. That Melissa McCarthy wanted to go on and do more movies, open up her schedule for filmmaking. So yeah, this will be the last season of Billy Gardell's series, Mike and Molly. I was kind of sad about that.
So sad.
I know.
So sad.
It's a good show. Yeah.
It was sweet. I mean, I like it better than Two Broke Girls, but that's just me. Hold on a second.
It's just you.
Not that line. How do I get to that? Steve is on the line. He wanted to. I'm holding. How am I holding the microphone right now?
You are multitasking.
I'm not really sure.
It's like a shake weight.
All right. Yes, it is. Hey, Steve, what did you want to share with us?
Hang on. I got to get back to the radio.
What?
No.
Are you on your radio show?
But talking about nobody having much of a career after that, Rob Reiner still has a
head. Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
As
a director, but not as an actor.
He also made North.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to clarify that because it kind of bumped me.
Oh, yeah. No. Not that after All in the Family was over. I think that Tim's point was they didn't want to do All in the Family anymore. They wanted to pursue other things. Sally Struthers, I don't think, did much. But I think that she was okay for in general. And yeah, but of course, Rob Reiner has a great career directing.
As a director, yeah, not as an actor.
Right.
I actually imagine that Tim Burton gets a call like every day. It's like, oh, hi, Winona. Yes, we're redoing Beetlejuice. Yes, you're in it. Don't worry.
Poor Winona. Thanks, Steve. No, we didn't mean to upset you about the careers after All in the Family. Talk to you later. Have a good one. So what else did we mean to get to, Craig? We know we had by the way, are you sold on parakeets and parrots as cuddly and fun pets?
No, I'm still not really sold on that.
I'm sorry.
We didn't get to Starbucks and their weird now discontinued polar bear cookies. They look like they were being killed.
Oh.
Yeah, so Starbucks has made some missteps this holiday season.
When you bite into it, it looks like it's being killed.
No, it's got what should be a bow tie that actually looks like it's a little bit of a wound. On the neck area.
I don't think it actually looks like it, but people on Facebook said, oh, look, they're slitting the throats of polar bears.
No!
Once you were told that you couldn't see anything but that.
Did anyone say these are Starbucks cookies? There's no secret message about... Was it supposed to be like a global warming message?
No, they just had a red scarf on, but the red scarf, once you said... That it looks like that's all you can see when you look at it. It's supposed to look just like a red scarf.
Don't stop saying those things.
Starbucks already killed Christmas by taking
these days, didn't
they?
Yeah.
They took everything off their cups and now they're killing polar bears. So we didn't get to
but
that.
But do they still do the Coca-Cola commercials? That's what someone would like to know.
I believe they do.